for the scripture reading to Helen, followed on by Matt Goodsey with the message for today.
Hello, I'm reading from Luke 12, verse 32 to 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that do not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the refreshing time it is together to be together today, to hear your singing, join in singing, and see faces that are, we're still rolling in and out, aren't we? People are getting better and coming back. People are getting sick. And in Zoom, so welcome to all the Zoomers as well. So I hope you're doing well, all those that are struggling through this cold, as our family is again this week. Great to see you all at the planting day. Oh, not all, but many of you at the planting last weekend. Thank you for the organisers and putting a heap of scones and cream and jam on, and just for the Yarra Rangers Council as well for arranging almost 1,000 plants for us to plant, and we got it all done, which is fantastic. So just wonderful conversations with some of the people and the families that came from the guides and scouts and from the community. So thank you all for making it such a great day. Regards from Ballarat as well. I was up there yesterday for the house church, and many of you down here are in their prayers, and I know that they are encouraged from your prayers for many of them as well. I dropped in to see Angus McIntosh, one of our visitors that comes in often down, or used to come in often down here. He's in hospital after, as mentioned, after the triple bypass, so he mentioned as I was leaving, he really appreciates the contact from MCF and the prayers from you all. So thank you all for the encouragement you give him. And he's looking quite bright and good. So he's struggling to get up and about at the moment. So hopefully over the next few weeks, things will improve for him. I have a list to share with you. I still got it on my phone. And it was a list given to me for a task I had to do, I was told to do. I'll just read a few of these things out. I wonder if you can work out what it is. Exercise ball. Food ready in the freezer for a quick but substantial meal. Baked beans, snacks and tahini balls, one of Sandra's favourite. Up and go energy smoothie, chocolate flavour. Towels, heavy duty black gloves, and a bucket. Nutmeg oil. Candles for ambience. Bags packed, ready for, this might give it away, hospital. Clothes, earplugs, thongs, large t-shirt, and raspberry leaf tea. To be taken hot and strong at the start. Maybe some of the ladies recognise what this list was for. You guessed it. It was for a list that our midwife gave me and a few other things as we were ready to have our first child a few years ago. And our midwife, I was instructed, don't take Sandra into the hospital too early. So she was saying, do most of the labour at home, away from the hospital. I liked our midwife. She was a bit sort of, don't go to the hospitals, just stay away from there as much as you can, though she worked in one. So she just wanted us to stay at home, in the relaxing home, and go through these first parts of labour. And I needed a list so I could be ready for it. A list, wrote things down as I would go, and so they would get these things ready a month before Sandra was due. And it did happen that way. We did have the first part of the labour at home, and to the point that the nurse was a bit shocked when we did arrive, because I arrived there a bit late with Sandra. Things had progressed a bit too far. But the list got me ready. Ready and waiting for something. To be ready at a moment's notice and not knowing when that moment would be. The action of being ready runs through life quite a bit, doesn't it? Ready for birth, ready for exams, ready for a driving test, ready for a plane flight, ready for school. We often go through life getting ready for things, preparing for things. And the bit of the Bible has a lot about this as well, this readiness. The Bible urges us to be ready, or watchful, as it's called other times. And it does this in this passage in Luke 12 today. One of the key stories in the Bible is Israel's flight from Egypt. When they were in slavery in Egypt, in these death camps, and they were getting ready to be released from Egypt. We call this the Exodus. And they were to have a meal called the Passover meal. And this meal was to be eaten on the eve of their departure. They didn't quite know when this would happen. God would engineer things to the point that the Pharaoh, Egyptian leader, would be on his knees after the 10 plagues. And it says in Exodus 12, verse 11, about the Passover meal, this is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on, your feet and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So they were to be ready, sandals on, cloak on, things tucked in, ready to go. And the people of Israel were going to be released from slavery, but they didn't quite know when. But when the notice was given, they had to go. And this passage today, Jesus refers to this meal, this readiness. He refers to this great story of Exodus. And he's giving this parallel with Israel and the followers of Jesus now. They are to be ready and watchful. He says in verse 32 in Luke 12, make sure you are dressed and ready. That's in the NIV. But what is it the disciples are to be ready for? The Exodus is done and dusted. What is it the disciples are to be ready for and watchful for? What is imminent that Jesus has to say this? And what about for us? What does it say for us? What are we to be ready for? Why are we to be ready? And what does ready mean? Or be watchful mean? I've mentioned before that this section of Luke we're in, Luke 12, is part of a section called the Way section, where Jesus is journeying from Jerusalem, starts in Luke 9:51, all the way to Luke 19. He's on his way from Galilee up north and going down to Jerusalem. And Jesus is journeying with these disciples. He's teaching them what it means to be life on life with him and what it looks like. And it's not a journey of going up to a bush and coming back to the same point again and having a nice cuppa and a break. This is a journey where Jesus is going somewhere and he has a sense that he's not going to come back, as the disciples may think. He envisages this coming moment when he arrives in Jerusalem of this showdown. The forces of evil against the forces of good. and it will result in Jesus' death in Jerusalem. And it won't just be a catastrophe for the disciples who are following their rabbi or their teacher, but it will also precipitate these events, which will be a catastrophe for Israel as well, ending up in the destruction of the temple within their lifetime. So Jesus has this in mind. And so what does Jesus do when he wants to teach something? He paints a picture. He tells a story. And he tells a story, this time, of servants waiting for their master. The story goes that a master has been out on a particularly long dinner, and NIV says something like a wedding feast, which could go on and on and on for many hours or days. And the servants don't know when their master is returning from this particularly long dinner. And so Jesus says, just like these servants are to be ready and waiting, you are to be ready and waiting for a moment's notice, for when you can hear the servants, the master's footsteps coming down the drive and knocking on the door. The master doesn't want to see the servants asleep. He wants to have the door opened up and for the master to be let in at any time, to get his coat, look after him. Now, as far as I know, you aren't a master and you don't have servants. I don't know, do you? Well, think of this readiness like getting ready for the birth of a child. You don't know when it's going to happen. You have a sort of a sense of something's on the horizon, but you don't know the exact moment. Or maybe a better example would be like being a parent of teenagers, waiting for the teenagers to come home after a late night out. A daughter or a son has been out all night, and I'm not aware of this, but I've heard that parents can't quite go to sleep until they're home or wait for that phone call to be picked up. So there's this waiting. There's this sense that I can't simply go to sleep at the moment. I have to sort of be available to be pick someone up or to open the door for the son and daughter that comes back. So there's Jesus is telling this story about this sense of waiting, of being ready for something. Now, taken together, these two parts, this story of servants being ready and the showdown that is imminent in Jerusalem for Jesus, it feels like Jesus is trying to build this tension and this importance of this journey towards Jerusalem. The journey towards Jerusalem will be a culmination of this running battle between the forces of evil and good. And he seems to be issuing a challenge to the disciples for total loyalty in the face of opposition, which they don't understand is going to happen. Jesus is saying this crisis is coming, this showdown is going to happen, and one must be prepared in the same way the servants are prepared, listening eagerly for their master's footsteps to come to the doorstep. Though this passage is often taken to talk about predictions of Jesus' final return, but I think Luke doesn't have that in mind, but the complex of events are going to happen as Jesus goes towards Jerusalem. And they will find things come upon them that they're not going to be ready for. So it's within their generation that Jesus is talking about that when the Son of Man comes. So how do we read this today? What does it mean to be ready for us? What does it mean the Son of Man will come upon you when you don't expect him in verse 40 for us today? Should I say to you, be on alert? Should I say to you, expect the unexpected? Should I say to you, be ready and keep watch and on the lookout 24/7? Should I say, no matter what happens, stay alert and be awake? Because this is what Jesus tells us to do. Well, this way of seeing this passage is problematic, both practically and logically. during the time I was supporting Sandra during the first stages of labour, while I was still at home, I was getting the hot compressors ready. That's why I had the big heavy-duty gloves. The back massages, the food up for the energy for the labour, hours into the night about to come ahead. And it got close to midnight, and guess what? I fell asleep. I just fell asleep. We'd been doing this hot compressors for 5 or 6 hours, and I put my head down to have a nap, and I fell asleep for a good half an hour, well past midnight. I couldn't keep awake. I couldn't keep alert. I was ready. I had my hospital clothes ready, had the shoes on. Everything was ready to go. Bags were packed, but my mind and my body wasn't ready. So what does it mean to be ready when practically we often just can't be ready all the time? Also, it doesn't make sense logically to be ready in this sort of always be ready, obsessively sense. Because, like I say, verse 35 says be ready and dress for action. Verse 36, be like those who are waiting for their master return. But this must be balanced with the verses before it. And it says in Luke 12, 22, do not worry about your life. Luke 12, 32, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And also, did you notice that twist in verse 37? The servants are waiting for the master to come. The master comes in the house. And what happens then? It's what you think would happen with the servants would look after the master. But it says, blessing are the servants who the master finds awake when he comes. I'm telling you the truth. He, the master, will put on an apron and sit down with them and wait on them. So the master turns into a servant. What this says is that the master will give the servants everything they need. The kingdom, in fact. So this says that we can rest. We can rest in the activity that all is done, all is taken care of. And we're invited into joining our master, God, in what he's up to in this restful alertness. God is generous. He wants to give us his kingdom. So we're invited into this posture of the whole of life is an abundant gift from a generous God. The whole of life. Rather than stressing obsessively, we are invited to give our life away in generous abandon, because God has given us all we need. A visual might be clenching our fists. I used to do this in uni. Clench my fist and be ready for exam. I'm going to get things done and I'm going to work hard all night. And you're so focused on this that you probably forget to sleep. You forget to eat. You end up falling asleep at the library the next day. Or as opposed to living a life of readiness with our hands open. Not in order to get something done, but in order to receive. God generously is always present and often on the edges of our awareness, providing things for us. Often not in our things that take up our, that we think are important. God comes in from our peripheral vision. And Christ is saying, be ready for a generous God who always wants to give. And not always in places that we expect. So what does it mean to be ready or watchful? I like to call it a watchful waiting. A watchful waiting to receive from God. Not a fixated grasping of readiness, but a cultivated watchful waiting, allowing our peripheral vision to notice God's graciousness in all places. And you could say we sit loose in the saddle, waiting for God to turn up again, to give to us. One of the commentators said this nice little phrase, position ourselves to be surprised. Position ourselves to be surprised. And so we offer ourselves, we're ready, or we're watchfully waiting in the givenness of the life that we have, of what we're here doing right now. Rather than imposing our readiness, our will on life, we encounter a God who has given us much. And Jesus has opened up our hands to be noticing what he is giving us already, a watchful waiting. So Jesus used this metaphor of a servant being prepared for the master to return. It's like Jesus saying, be prepared to us. It's like he's saying, be prepared for Jesus' second coming, as if it's imminent. Not to say that it is, but live as if it is. Live as if Jesus is going to arrive in a new and a refreshing way to us again today. And then in verse 32 again, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Last week, Carissa, in her message, left us with two challenges. And I'd like to take up those two challenges again, but slightly change the words a little bit. And put in her this phrase, a watchful waiting. And she said, are we watchfully waiting for God's kingdom to the point that it influences what we fill our whole life with? Because God's generous. He wants to give us the kingdom. Not in some sort of futuristic sense, but now. Is this, as we watchfully wait for the kingdom, is it an abstract thing over into the future, something to happen? Or is it good news now for us? Something that we can receive right now. And the second question was, are we watchfully waiting for the kingdom to filter through to impact our actions? Are we obsessively watching and clasping for control, or are we watchfully waiting for the needs of others that come across our paths? And as we are under the care of a generous God, God calls us to be abundantly generous to those around us. The kingdom is presented to us as a gift, not as a compensation or an achievement. Now that's good news, isn't it? I'd like to finish up with a blessing. I think Jesus engages with our peripheral vision as he asks us to wait and watch, to notice things, and notice things like this from Romans 11, verse 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his paths toward beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counsellor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.